The station, Radio Netherlands. The program, Media Network.
Hosted by Jonathan Marks.
Don't miss a minute.
Hello, and it's been another busy week, it says here. Seriously, thanks for your faxes, phone calls, internet messages, letters, and even Christmas cards. I know we talk a lot about electronic mail, but in fact, electronic Christmas cards aren't quite the same thing as the real Christmas cards. Thank you for those. We start with media wave developments this week. I'm joined by Diana Janser and a short recording off the wireless.
Vous écoutez le service international de Transol Radio. Ce programme vous parvient depuis Radio Tirana en Albanie.
That's the sound of Transworld Radio signing on from the 1 megawatt transmitter run by Radio Tirana in Albania on 1395 kilohertz. The Netherlands was also granted use of that frequency at a planning conference back in 1978, but until now the Dutch haven't used the channel. Apparently that will change from September the 1st next year, when a new station comes on the air called Nieuwsradio 1395. It's going to be run by the Veronica Broadcasting Organization, the Dutch newspaper concern NDU, and the publishing company Quote. Veronica is currently one of the public broadcasters in the Netherlands, but has announced it will go commercial on September 1st next year. Allard Berens is general manager for radio at Veronica's headquarters in Hilversum. Surely they realize that there will be interference problems if and when they come on the air.
Well, that's correct. There's a big problem with that frequency because between, let's say, 7 in the evening and 6 in the morning, there is a station in Albania who's transmitting on that frequency, and we will have some problems with that. But we think we can solve that in the next few months.
How are you going to solve it?
Oh, well, that's a little secret. On one hand, you can do the technical. But on the other hand, we are talking with the Dutch government of changing frequencies, if that's possible.
You're not going to buy Radio Tirana?
Oh, no. I have a think about it. Maybe it's an idea.
Uh-huh. And you just mentioned changing frequencies. Are you thinking about the 747 medium wave?
Well, if that would be possible, it would be great.
In recent weeks, there's been renewed discussion in Dutch parliamentary circles about whether the public broadcast channel Radio 1 should continue to broadcast the same program on both medium wave 747 kHz and through a nationwide FM network. Last year, there was an enormous public protest when the government suggested selling off 747 to commercial bidders. For that reason, the decision was delayed. The people behind Nieuwsradio 1395 are really hoping they'll be called Nieuwsradio 747.
And if that one is coming on the market, we will definitely try to use that one.
Anyway, it won't be the 1395.
Oh, no, there is a possibility to use the 1395, but if we can get a better frequency, we'll go for that.
And you don't think about FM?
FM would be great, but I don't think government will allow you to use an FM frequency for news and talk. Probably will change something then, and then news and talk will go on the AM, and probably a program that's already on the AM now and is doing music will be transported to the FM.
I can imagine you don't know anything about the power you're going to use yet and where the transmitter will be.
There is slightly an idea about what transmitter place must be. We're talking with some local governments, but that will be in the center of Holland. Be in the neighborhood of Lopik, and how much power we use we don't know exactly now. The frequency is given with a power of 550 kilowatts, but I don't think we have to use all that power.
You said that you will need about 60 journalists to run that station.
Yes.
Isn't that a bit expensive? How can you make money from a radio news channel?
Well, they're doing it all over the world. Why shouldn't you do it in Holland?
Well, in Holland there's quite a lot of competition from the public network Radio 1, regional stations.
Well, that's correct, but there are listening a lot of people to that kind of station, totally market shares on the moment, about 30%. And the programs they bring are not that good. So I think if you bring a good station in that share of the market, you will have a big chance to get enough people to listen to you to make some money.
Not surprisingly, the public broadcasters are rather more sceptical. Piet van Tellingen, network manager for the news channel Radio 1, thinks that they won't be able to deliver a competitive program with just 60 journalists. Radio 1 has an estimated budget of just over $50 million. Veronica says that their news radio service will be aimed at the younger public, around 35 years old, which probably means that they don't have to worry too much about Radio Tirana because their audience watches television after 6 p.m.
Probably you have to make most of your money at daytime, not at night.
So what will be your format in the evenings then?
Probably 2 hours of looking back for the news of the day, between 10 and 12 in the evening, and a lot of sports.
Is it based on stations like WTOP in Washington that says, give us 20 minutes of your time and we'll give you the world?
I don't know that station in Washington, but I do know the station WINS in New York that has the same format. No, it will not be something like that. No, because the Dutch audience is a different audience if you compare it to the American listeners.
Veronica is not only busy with radio. It has hired a team of 15 people to install a commercial internet project. This will kick off this Saturday, the 10th of December, with what's called the Mega Music Dance Experience. From 1900 UTC until 0500 Sunday morning, Veronica is trying out an interactive party. As 23,000 partygoers in Utrecht dance away the night, the music and even some videos will be pumped into the internet, hosted by former MTV jockey Adam Curry. This is a one-off event, but as from March, Veronica will launch the VIP, Veronica Interactive Plaza. They want to offer games, product information and teleshopping on the internet. An interesting development, because internet is supposed to be non-commercial. But will they also try to sell their news service via internet?
That's possible. Yeah, we will do that for sure. That's something we're trying to look at now. We're not sure if that's a market you can make some money on, but it is an interesting market, and it's a growing market. So
people would have to buy it then?
Well, that's one. I'm not sure about that. That's one way. The other way you can do is put commercials between it.
Well, we'll see what happens. The voice there of Alan Behrens. Now, Bengt Erford of the DX Listeners Club in Norway reports there's more activity due on Medium Wave elsewhere in Europe very shortly. BBC Radio 1 left Medium Wave early this year, and the frequencies were allocated to a new UK national speech network called Talk Radio. They tell Bent that no transmissions will start this year, but the first broadcasts are scheduled for mid-January. More transmitters will be added gradually, one by one. Just before Christmas, they expect to move into their new studios at 76 Oxford Street in London, postal code W1N0TT, for taking note. The transmitters are being rented from the BBC, they say, but some of the oldest will be replaced by modern ones. Basically, the old Radio 1 network will be used, but some sites may be altered or moved. 1053 and 1089 kHz are the main frequencies to watch, with filler transmitters on 1071 and 1107 kHz. Also in the UK, Waves AM, the temporary restricted service station in Peterhead, will be active again, starting December the 17th and running until January the 1st. It will operate from 07 hours until midnight UTC, with the Supergirl satellite feed right through the night. The station will be operating on 1566 kHz with very low power, but it was heard when it operated for the last time in August on the west coast of Norway. Anyway, from medium wave, we switch now to shortwave wireless with a fruity connection.
Strawberry feels forever. Strawberry feels forever. Strawberry feels forever.
During the Gulf War, when communication links between Baghdad and the rest of the world were cut, many satellite news channels resorted to a close-up of a shortwave radio tuned to Radio Baghdad. For when the going gets tough, shortwave is still the only means to cross a border. Such a situation has just repeated itself in Bosnia over the last week. 70 Dutch soldiers serving with the United Nations were captured by Serbian troops and confined for 6 days. They were due to be sent on leave, but instead found themselves in Zvornik.
The Serbs took away their satellite telephones, and being cut off completely from the outside world, their only link with home was by secretly tuning in to Radio Netherlands Dutch service on a shortwave radio. However, the Dutch troops knew that the Serbs understood the word radio, so they gave the news transmissions the code name Strawberry, or in Dutch, Aardbei. For the next few days, they shared news amongst themselves as to how the Strawberry was reporting on developments back home to secure their safe release.
When that finally came on Saturday, the troops were flown back to Holland, where friends and family were waiting at Amsterdam Schiphol Airport. Radio Netherlands sent a reporter with a big tray of strawberries to greet the soldiers as they got off the plane.
We zijn van de Wereldomroep en we hebben gehoord dat de Nederlandse Wereldomroep heel belangrijk is voor jullie geweest voor jullie deze week. Dus vandaar dat wij enkele echte Hollandse aardbeien voor jullie hebben meegenomen.
Super Dobro.
Dank u wel.
Ik neem er ook een.
The other media at the airport were puzzled, but the troops made the connection straight away. One of them commented that it was a good job they hadn't picked the codename Bananas.
Yes, shortwave to get you out of the jam. Now, any more questions?
Yeah, I got a question, Jonathan. Mike Bird is always talking about, you know, like solar cycles and, you know, solar indices. And how come he never talks about the solar plexus?
Well, you should check the dictionary. But we did have what sounded like a very serious complaint from Rick Lansing in Pueblo, Colorado, a little while back, who questioned Mike Bird's sanity for changing the form of the propagation review. He concluded...
He used to have the reporting period from Thursday through Wednesday, but for some reason, unbeknownst to anybody else but Mike Bird, he changed the period to Wednesday through Tuesday. I just don't know about this guy, Jonathan.
Well, we did hint at the reason a few weeks back, but obviously we weren't clear enough. Here's what's happening.
Well, up until a few weeks ago, we used to issue and record the propagation report at around 06:30 UTC on Thursday. Now, unfortunately, listeners to Media Network at 01:30 UTC on Thursday didn't get the report. So a few weeks ago, we brought the recording of the propagation report forward to around 21:30 UTC on Wednesday, so it could be included in the first transmission at 01:30 UTC on Thursday. Unfortunately, this means we just missed the daily solar disturbance forecast from the Space Environment Services Center in Boulder. Also, we missed by about an hour the IPS daily report and forecast. This means that the propagation report is made up of information from the previous Wednesday through to the Tuesday just passed.
So that means to say that the propagation forecast has to last longer and could even go out of date in the course of Thursday.
That's right, Jonathan, but have no fear. We will monitor the situation throughout Thursday, and if conditions change, we can update any part of the report or forecast.
Okay, now we're off to Africa.
Zambia Broadcasting Services, this is the external service of Radio Zambia.
The call of the fish eagle on Radio Zambia has so far been the only shortwave voice out of that country in Africa. But that changed last Thursday with the inauguration of a new station called Christian Voice. You may recall an interview we ran on August the 4th with Bob Edmiston of the British charity called Christian Vision. He explained they were building a shortwave station, as well as a Bible college, health clinic and an orphanage, on an 8,000-acre farm 30 kilometers from Lusaka.
Well, it's a continental 100-kilowatt transmitter, and the aerial, I'm not too technical, but the aerial is one which basically sends a signal directly up, and it comes down in a reverse umbrella pattern. We believe 1,500-kilometer radius in every direction. So it covers quite a large area. There will be other things on the radio, like, for instance, health programs and various news and sports information. But primarily, it's a Christian program.
It was clear in August that plans were nearing completion. Well, on December 1st, Zambian President Chiluba officially opened the station at a luncheon for local dignitaries and church leaders. He's been personally behind the project from the start. Programs are exclusively in English and aimed at the target audience living within 1,500 kilometers of the transmitter site. That explains the frequency choice. Christian Voice is on the air between 12 and 19 hours UTC on 6065 kilohertz. Of course, here in Europe, we can't hear them, because Radio Sweden uses that channel. The station says that once they get going, the transmission schedule will expand to 24 hours a day.
That report was by Diana Janser. Now, I've always wondered about some of the records you can buy in the shops. You don't see too many people hanging round the counter with sound effects records, do you? Unless you're a budding movie maker, the idea of a quiet romantic evening with sound effects playing in the background, creating a suitable atmosphere, is not most people's idea of a good time. See what I mean? Well, that's one extreme. You could argue a project in Denmark is another very specialist project. I suppose many of us in the radio business have difficulty explaining the magic of radio to friends who prefer to watch television. Amateur radio is even more difficult to explain, since it can often involve giant antennas that cause interference patterns on the neighbour's TV. Well, Andrew Huddleston is a British-born singer now living in Aarhus in Denmark with his Danish wife Lisa. They've recorded 7 records to date. The 8th, though, is devoted entirely to amateur radio. Yes, the album's called Seek You, and the titles say everything. I'm Not Climbing Up the Tower Anymore, The Contest, The Radio Window. Well, we'll give the CD a spin.
Young, I used to dream I had the perfect radio shack. Big antennas on a 100-foot tower, a brand new radio and maximum power. It's great to QSO in Morse again, instead of talking till I'm hoarse again. I know I'm on my hobby horse again, but it's great to QSO in Morse again.
I just love the expeditions. I love to get away.
Well, you came right back to my CQ call. You read ability 5 and strength 9.
We're the ham band and we play that country music. Morning, noon and evening and the middle of the night. Come and hear the ham band when we're in your location, or else we'll come and get you. Won't give up without.
QRZ, QRZ DX, QRZ Delta X-ray, Oscar Zulu 1, Alpha Delta Lima, QRZ DX.
Oscar Zulu 1, Alpha Delta Lima.
Andrew Huddleston didn't tell us how much they're selling their CD album, called CQ, apart from the fact that it was recorded in Nashville, Tennessee, with 15 session players, but the vocals were done locally at Aarhus in Denmark. Now, if an evening with two singing amateur radio operators sounds like fun, you can write to Andrew for more information at Last Resort Records, Müllenstein 53, and that's spelled Müllenstein, number 53. The postal code is DK8000. Aarhus, that's Aarhus, C in Denmark. The fax number is 45 for Denmark, then 86191980. Talking of country music, let's take a phone call now from the answer line.
This is James Robinson in Birkenhead, England, reporting. I've just heard that Country Music Radio will commence test transmissions on Monday, the 5th of December, on the 7.56 subcarrier of JSTV, Channel 24 of Astra. This is not going to be available during the daytime when CMT's on the air, because it comes from JSTV comes from London and CMT comes from Germany. But the test broadcast on the 5th of December on that 7.56, normal programs from Friday the 9th of December, and the TSUG satellite surgery will return between 20 and 22 hours GMT on Wednesday the 14th and Wednesday evenings thereafter.
Thanks for the update. Hugh McKenzie of the Australian Defence Forces Radio tells us they've switched to DSB instead of single sideband in their service to East Africa. That means you can now hear them on any radio, and the signals are quite good. They broadcast to East Africa from a transmitter in Northwest Cape in Western Australia from 8 to 10 hours on 18 193 kHz upper sideband and 15 607 kHz in double sideband. Here in Europe, 18 193 kHz comes in quite well around 9 hours UTC.
And I have a special story here for you now. It's firefighters have rescued Jimmy Lopez Santiago.
Australian Defence Forces Radio also is on the air from 14 to 16 hours on 10623 kHz in double sideband and 8743 kHz upper sideband. There are also broadcasts to Malaysia for troops serving there. They're transmitted from HMAS Harman Belconnen in Australian Capital Territory from 01 to 03 hours UTC, from 0430 to 0630, and from 10 to 12 hours UTC, all on the single frequency of 13525 kHz, 13525 in upper sideband. Back to amateur radio for a few moments. Victor Gunatilaka in Colombo, Sri Lanka, reminds us now of an anniversary of a network of amateur radio operators in South Asia who helped the broadcast listener community down there. Victor.
Jonathan, the last Sunday in November is always the anniversary for this very active SWL and DXNet down in South India. And on the 27th of November, they celebrated their fifth year. And every week for the last 5 years, VU3 SIO, VU3 DJQ, and VU2 FOT have been serving the amateur radio and especially the SWL broadcast station listener community in South India very regularly, and I think we deserve to give them a good bouquet.
What about the frequency when people can hear them?
Oh yes, the frequency is inside the 40 meter amateur radio band, and usually it's approximately 7080, maybe a 1 or 2 kilohertz up and down depending on interference.
Okay, you mentioned the frequency 7080 kilohertz. What about the time and the day, of course?
Well, it's every Sunday, and the time 3 hours UTC or 8:30 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Well, Jonathan, in addition to South Asian radio hams, I have been meeting quite a few radio amateurs who are dedicated media network listeners. And in the last 2 weeks, more than 6 radio hams in Africa. And I've been taking most of my information from them. And I'd love to meet any radio ham who is a media network listener. I usually operate on 20 meters on single sideband, most evenings around 13 hours to 18 hours. And my call sign, 4 Sugar 7 Victor Kilo, that's 4S7VK.
The Radio Netherlands answer line. If you've something to say, the world is listening.
Hello, this is Beb Alkemaler from the car in Rotterdam. I like to tell you that I love your station. I like your program very, very, very much, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for that. Many, many, many thanks. Many, many, many thanks. Bye-bye.
Yes, you don't have to work here to phone in your comments or even complaints here on Radio Netherlands. Well, a Palestinian amateur radio operator in Gaza said this past Saturday he made the first communication using the Palestine call sign in nearly 50 years. That turned out to be ZC6, which has been allocated to Palestine since 1948 by the International Telecommunication Union. It belongs to Dr. Sami Tarazi. PLO leader Yasser Arafat commissioned the setting up of the Palestine Wireless Society, the amateur radio organisation, back in January, but this is the first report of any on-air activity. Meanwhile, in Somalia, Australian amateur radio operator Sam Voran has popped up on the bands again to announce that Radio Free Somalia, a broadcasting station, is back in action after disappearing for a period. On Sunday morning, calls went out from an amateur radio station, 6 Oscar Zero Whiskey, on 14275 kilohertz in the ham band. They announced a test transmission from Radio Free Somalia on the 22-metre broadcasting band, namely 13710 kilohertz at 13 hours UTC on Sunday, and gave the location as northeastern Somalia. Weak signals were indeed monitored across Africa, according to several reports that came into the Media Network office this week. Over now to Arthur Cushion, though, who's learnt more about other test frequencies.
Yes, one of the local amateurs here, Bill Pickford, phoned me to say that he'd been talking to Sam Boran on 14275 at 0300, and he asked would he pass on the message to me that they're testing at 1300, and they've got three frequencies in use, which they're trying out, 9865, 9900, and 9935, and that's a 1300 UTC test. Sam Boran, of course, well known in this area, and is Australian, and he started off Radio Free Bougainville about 5 years ago, and now he's moved over to this another war zone and starting off over there.
Right, so that's Radio Free Somalia, and those frequencies again that they're testing?
9865, 9900, and 9935 at 1300 UTC. We've got some interesting news from Vanuatu, as you remember, and Sendit mentioned that there were some new equipment going in, 210 kilowatt and 22 kilowatt medium wave. Well, they're being installed at the moment, and they've been resited at a very swampy area, Anton Lagoon, outside Port Vila, and they will be replacement for the present transmissions. That's 3945, 7260, and 1125 medium wave. The second transmitter, medium wave, 2 kilowatt, is going on to Santo, Esperanto Santo, and will be operating from a new site there.
So you expect stronger signals in January from Vanuatu?
We should, yes. It's just the same frequencies, but that equipment dates back to, some of that goes back to 1971 when Australia gave the original material to them. And in fact, it was 1971 that I first heard them on medium wave, and that was a gift from Namiya. But I first heard the New Hebrides, which is now Vanuatu, in March 1945, Armed Forces Radio, WVUR, 1045 kilohertz. We got the letter out, but due to technical wartime reasons, they couldn't tell you anything about the transmitter, but it was a verification at any rate.
A lovely story. What else is new?
Well, over in Australia, they seem to be going mad in Melbourne on foreign languages. The 1422 is Greek, and now 1593 is all Italian, 24 hours a day, two relative new stations in the Melbourne area.
Arthur, I noticed in some of the North American loggings that the Bahamas comes in well. What about Down Under? Does it get to you?
Yes, it does get to us, Jonathan, around 0800 on 1540. Generally an English Caribbean gospel-type broadcast. It's blocked up to 0800 by a new San Francisco station on 1540, and it's KMBY, another twist in broadcasting. It's called a lifestyle station or personal achievement, and it closes at 0800, which is, again, unusual for a station in North America to close, but it closes at 0800 and reopens at 1300, and that's on 1540 kilohertz.
So much for medium wave. Now back to short wave.
Well, the Korean radio at Seoul, 2200, a short English announcement on 13670 kilohertz, and from then on, severe jamming, and the jamming is actually evident right through the day here, though we cannot hear the transmission. It's really knocked around on that, on 13670 from 2200 onwards. It's a relay, of course, of the domestic service. New Zealand and the government have put up for tender the 40 stations of the commercial network, and there's quite a bit of interest in buying the whole network. They've sold one station already, and that was 4ZG Gore on 558, which had been sold privately about a couple of months ago. But that's a big change in New Zealand broadcasting, and you'll remember Paul Holmes from the days at Radio Nederland. he is one of those reported to be interested in buying the network or part of the network. So it's a big change in New Zealand radio if that takes place. Back to medium wave, and from New York we're hearing an interesting signal. It's on 1560 kilohertz at 0700 with Jazz. The station is WQEW. Now, WQEW used to be WQXR, operated by the New York Times, a very strategic type of radio station in the old days of broadcasting, but now it's new owners and new calls. And Yugoslavia, since they've changed their English transmission to this area, very difficult to hear, but we do hear a transmission from 1930 to 2000, and that's on 9720 kilohertz.
Thank you, Arthur. Now quickly over to Mike Bird in Melbourne, who's waiting with the propagation survey over the last 7 days. Mike.
The geomagnetic field was slightly disturbed last Friday and then again on Tuesday. Solar activity was low all week. The solar flux was 78 at the beginning of the week. On Saturday and Sunday it reached 82, and by yesterday it had dropped back to 78. The average works out to 79.8, which equals an effective sunspot number of 19, and that's down 2 points on the previous week's level. The geomagnetic field disturbance indicator, the estimated planetary A index, ranged between 18 and 6, which represents active to quiet conditions. The magnetic field was generally unsettled except on Friday and Tuesday when it became active. This was due to two coronal holes producing high-speed solar wind.
So what about between now and the 15th of December?
Well, it's not looking too bad, Jonathan. IPS Radio and Space Services expect solar activity will remain low, and the geomagnetic field should hopefully be quiet to unsettled for the week.
Good gracious, I'll let you get back to the radio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's it for now. Thanks also to Deanna Janser for background research this week. We all wish you a pleasant weekend.
Media Network is a Radio Netherlands presentation. Copyright 1994.